Hello, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Anna Loder from readabook.com.au. I'm a lifelong reader and book lover and a long-time book club member. 15 years, I can't believe it. I've been a bookseller for 13 and now I'm a reviewer and blogger. This is a weekly podcast celebrating that love of books and reading. I'm so excited to be in your ears today. Before we get started, can I quickly pay my respects to the Dharawal people of the Eora Nation, the traditional custodians of the land on which I work, play, read and live on. Along with the traditional owners of the lands throughout Australia, I pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. Let's get started. Okay, well, today I get to speak with best-selling author of historical fiction, Diane Armstrong, and I could not be more excited. I know I say that every episode that I get to record, but oh my goodness, if my life could not get better. Just love it. She's got the new book out at the moment, The Wild Date Palm, which I got to read an early copy of and was super stoked to have got the opportunity. So it's World War One, and it's like nothing I've really read before. It's so interesting. Like, you think you've read every historical fiction from every single angle, and then lo and behold, something else comes up and you haven't at all. So many stories out there and such a wealth of experiences to draw on, I guess. But this is based on a true story, and I can't wait to speak to Diane about that. I also think that her story herself is fascinating, so we'll talk to her about that as well. I just, there's so much to get into. I can't wait to get started. This is going to be such a good one. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, that's such a pleasure.
Oh, goodness. I was so excited when I got an ARC for The Wild Date Palm. I loved the collaborators. Thank you very much. So how did you get the idea for this book?
Well, I used to do a lot of travel writing, and I was on a tour of Israel, and the guide sort of casually, as we were driving near Haifa, she said, "Oh, that's Zichron Yaakov. There was a very interesting family lived there, and the children in that family formed a spy ring, and they spied on the Turks in World War One because they wanted Britain to win the war." This is 1915-16. And I thought, that sounds interesting. When I got home, I looked it up, and it was far more exciting and extraordinary than she had intimated. There was a young woman who I've called her Shoshana, because this is all based on a true story. There's espionage, there's passion, there's an exotic setting, there's Lawrence of Arabia, who I've always been.
I couldn't believe it when I saw Lawrence in there.
I know. I've always been fascinated by him, and there, you know, he comes into the story. So, you know, there was just so much there that it was like a story that just demanded to be written.
Well, I would have just assumed that it was fiction, because it was just, it was everything. You say, like, it's got the love story and the forbidden love in there, and you even had the lights flashing on the boat if there was something that they needed to pass over.
The secret code. I mean, you couldn't really invent it. I'm always fascinated by the interaction, the intersection, the intertwining of truth and fiction, because I use fact, as I think a lot of writers do. But in the end, I was reading something about that Somerset Maugham, who's one of my favourite writers, he once said, because he also used fact to create fiction. And somebody asked him once, was this fact or was this fiction? And he said, you know, by the time I finished writing the book, they're so tightly intertwined, I can scarcely tell one from the other.
Wow. But I guess that's how I read historical fiction, I guess. I don't seem to enjoy non-fiction stories like I do the fiction. I need the emotion. I need the humanity in there as well.
Well, the personal aspect. Yeah. Someone who read the book, who is familiar with the history, said they've read a lot of non-fiction about these people and their spy ring and what happened, which was unbelievable. We won't do any spoilers.
No spoilers.
Spoilers. But he said, you've done something quite different. You have put a personal aspect to the story. You've made it so real and personal. I thought, well, that's great. That's really what I want to do.
Absolutely. Oh, it was so personal. You know, five pages in, this family were my friends, the sisters. I could completely understand. They were different from each other, but they still loved each other, and they had, it's just, I knew these people so well right from the start.
No, that's great. Actually, you know, one of the things that struck me after I'd finished writing was that it's amazing how the chain of events, the way that, like, Shoshana fell in love with the same man as her sister Leah.
Yeah.
And she makes a promise to her mother, and she leaves home to keep that promise. And then she's on a train, and what she sees on the train makes her come face to face with her destiny. And then everything follows from that. So that it all just follows like life. You make a decision, you take one step, and then so much else follows that you never expected.
Yeah, from that step, you take another step. And we can see that very clearly in your novel. And just the fact these are just normal, everyday village people who are trying to win the war for Britain because they see an injustice. I really loved that.
And, of course, it makes you sort of think, can one person affect the fate of nations? You know, they say one person can make a difference.
Mm.
And, of course, she did make a big difference.
Yeah. But no spoilers at all. But it would have been incredibly frustrating being in this story for lots of the book, I think, because...
I mean, the exotic setting blew me away because I thought, you know, World War One. It's not so familiar, is it? World War One and the dunes and the sand hills and the wadis and all that. And then there's Lawrence of Arabia, and he wrote a very famous book called The Seven Pillars of Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
He dedicated it to a mysterious S.A. and he never ever divulged who S.A. really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, the jury's still out. Was it Shoshana? Maybe it was.
Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? It's so exotic. So you are still working as a journalist, I think. Is that right?
Occasionally I write an article, but mostly now I concentrate on writing books.
Yeah, I was only thinking that in terms of research, like there must have been so much research that went into the Wild Date Farm. It must have taken years.
Well, it did. It really did, because when I got home, I started looking up the story of this family, and it was, as I said, more extraordinary than I ever imagined. And then I started reading about them. So one book led to another. And then I went back. I wanted to see that town. So I went back there, and what I discovered was that the house where their family lived is still there. And it's become a museum dedicated to their memory.
Oh, wow.
You know, and walking through that house after I'd sort of written the book or started writing the book, and I could see so much that's related to them, the memorabilia, the letters. I don't want to say any more because...
No. Yeah. It's only just come out. Let's not spoil it.
No, but it was that's really what gave me. I thought, well, okay, now I have to sit down and finish writing this book. It became so real to me after being in that house.
Mm. In terms of the spying, yes, and the secret code and the moonless night, and there was all of that, but also it was a love story.
Yes, it certainly was a very moving and...
And a coming of age as well. I think when we first meet these sisters, they are very much daughters. And so that was nice as well.
Yes, especially Leah, who changed so much over the years. But I found the background of World War One fascinating as well, because, you know, we've got the Australian Light Horse coming into it, and General Allenby, Shoshana's brother, who was another fascinating character. He was a brilliant botanist. And he gave it all up in order to spy on the Turks. So he gave up his career. And it's just incredible how that all happened.
He didn't need to be worried about a world war that was raging.
Exactly. I mean, he was offered a very prestigious post at the top Californian university. They all wanted him. And, you know, he could easily have just led a very... easy and happy life.
Yeah.
He chose this very difficult, challenging path.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, I did do some preparation. You were born in World War II to Polish Jews in Poland.
Yes. Yes,
and you
I'm
lived.
American.
Yeah.
I know. I'm serious. 1.5 million Jewish children were murdered during the Holocaust, and my parents and I survived, and that was really by a miracle. We moved to a village where nobody knew us. I wrote about this in Mosaic, which was
Which I
my
still
first
have to read.
Well, you know, that book was published quite a while ago, and I'm still getting emails from all over the world about it, from people of all religions, nationalities, from everywhere, people who were really affected by the story. And I find it hard to believe now that all this really happened, that we survived thanks to the friendship of the village priest with my father.
It's just, it's incredible. Oh, yeah, it does give you goosebumps. Like, what a miracle to have survived.
50 years later, when I was researching Mosaic, I had wonderful interviews that I'd done with my family. I had dispersed surviving relatives in all over the world and went away with my tape recorder, and I got their oral histories, mind you. Not all of them were as enthusiastic about the idea of me writing about their lives as I was, but I managed to convince them that this was an important story that needed to be
Absolutely.
Told.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you know, I did eventually convince them. It wasn't easy in some cases. But then I came home with all this incredible information, because they were all such characters, larger than life characters, and their survival stories were unbelievable. So I thought, right, now I'm going to write this story about my incredible relatives. But then I somehow couldn't get going. I thought, something's stopping me. Something's missing from this story, and I don't know what it is. So I went back to Poland. 50 years later, I'm in the village where we spent 3 years during the war. And by the most miraculous set of, I don't know whether you would call it coincidences, destiny, fate, whatever you like. I knocked on the door of a house, and an old white-haired man was standing there, and he looked at me and I looked at him, and he folded his arms around me and he said, "Little Danusha," that was my Polish name, "to think you've come back after all these years." It was the priest who had saved us.
Oh,
during
my goodness.
And I had no idea who he was, where he was. My parents weren't alive anymore, so I couldn't ask them anything. I didn't set out to find him because I didn't know where he was.
Well, you would have just assumed if your parents were gone by that stage, surely he would have been too.
Exactly. And somehow something led me to his door.
Oh, and I don't even have goosebumps. I've got tears in my eyes. That's incredible.
Running through the wild date palm is the theme. What are we willing to die for?
I did want to bring this up, yes. Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, we all know what we want to live for,
yeah.
But then there comes a time or a circumstance, and then the issue is, what are we willing to die for, and how do we reach the limits of our dreams, if we do, and what does that cost, and is it worth it?
And are you prepared to pay the price?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I can see from The Collaborator, and I am so looking forward to reading your other books, but I think that is a central concern of yours, isn't it? Normal people, what are you willing to do?
Well, probably because of my background in the Holocaust, where 63 of my relatives were murdered, and I was so lucky to survive. I'm just fascinated by ordinary people who suddenly, through no fault, no doing, nothing that they've done, are thrown into extraordinary situations where they have to fight however they can to survive. And then I like to bring out the best and the worst in human nature, because none of us are perfect.
But and don't so you do that so well?
Well, it's just so interesting to see. And sometimes bad people do good things, and sometimes good people do bad things. Mm-hmm. So that's part of our human condition, and that's what really fascinates me. And I just hope that in some small way what I write sheds a light on that.
I think your book, The Wild Date Palms, did that particularly well. I mean, She's on the train. You're right there with her. You think you're just going for a day trip from her new husband's house back to her family's home. It's what happens on the train and what everybody else on the train ignores that sets her down this path and the path of no return, really.
Yes.
Everybody else on the train has chosen not to see, but she didn't. Yeah.
This is life, isn't it? So people choose not to see.
Yeah.
Going on, so yes.
Because they're not prepared to take it to the next level and because it's not something that they're willing to die for,
They don't even want to confront it. It's too challenging. Yeah.
It's such a great novel. There's so much in there. I think it would make an excellent book club book because there is so much that you need to talk over and to dive deep into. It's in no way a mirror of what's happening now in Palestine. Were you thinking of current day events when you were writing this?
Absolutely not. Yeah. I finished writing it before the current events started.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
You know, that is just one of these amazing coincidences.
Yeah.
Synchronicity, whatever. Yeah. That I finished writing it in January last year, long before all this happened, yeah.
Gosh, there's some things, isn't there? Like, of all the houses to knock on, you knock on the one that contains your priest that saved you.
Yes.
It's an incredible story to be talking about in 2024. Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I looked up and you can buy Mosaic through Amazon, but it was top of the charts.
Yes, it was.
It was easy for me to buy. But I didn't realise when I had read The Collaborator that you had a memoir that I had yet to read. So I'm really looking forward to it now.
Another aspect of my life provided me with material for another book, which was The Voyage of Their Life. And that was the true story of the nightmare voyage that my parents and I made to Australia on a post-war hell ship. Every catastrophe that could possibly befall a ship befell that ship.
Wow.
It was a 1915 ship, mm-hmm. which was originally built for the German East Africa Company, and it was a total wreck. And because there was such a demand for ships to take survivors to Australia and America mm-hmm. and Canada, a German ship owner called Livanos, he was Onassis's brother-in-law, bought this wreck of a ship, which was initially a cargo ship with enough accommodation for 9 passengers. And in, I think, 5 minutes flat, he renovated it, refitted it to fit 545 passengers.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can imagine the conditions on that ship.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the passengers included Holocaust survivors, Nazi sympathizers, Greek and Italian crew who were at each other with flick knives after hours. Everything that could possibly happen to that ship happened. I travelled all around Australia and New Zealand, and I traced about 120 passengers who had been on that ship, and their stories were incredible. So that was the voyage of their life.
Oh, it doesn't seem to matter how much I read, my TBR just grows and grows. This is another one that I've just added on now. Oh, there's so much to be interested in, isn't there, when you're a reader?
I know. I've got a big file too.
Yeah, I bet you. Oh, wow. And I think you're doing a signing today at Mindymix that I work at.
Thursday.
Oh, good. Well, I'll be there. I'll see you then.
Great. Look forward to meeting you in person.
Oh, wonderful. I'm going to bring my coffee in and get you to sign it then.
Oh, that'll be so good.
You live in Sydney, touring Sydney and Melbourne. Is that true?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
There's book weeks, podcasts and interviews and articles, you know.
And bookshop visits.
Oh, most definitely bookshop visits, especially Dimmocks.
Yeah. Eastgate, we'll have signed copies. And so what's next? The Collaborator did it come out in 2019?
It did. And then in 2022, Dancing with the Enemy came out.
I have got that book. I've got a copy of that book. I didn't realise that was yours. Oh, wow. I've got so much of yours to read. Wonderful.
Well, that's a story that not many people know anything about. The island of Jersey in the Channel Islands mm-hmm. was occupied occupied by the Germans for the entire World War II.
I just read the Wartime Book Club. The Germans were there right from the start until the end of the war. I couldn't believe it. I had no idea.
They were. And Britain really basically abandoned them because they really couldn't spare the resources. I mean, Britain was fighting for its life at that point. And also, they didn't think that the islands were that important. On the other hand, Hitler saw them as strategically important because he envisaged that when Britain finally decided, when the Allies landed in Europe, they would use the Channel Islands as a stepping stone. So he fortified the Channel Islands more than any other place during the war. The tunnels and the bunkers, it's unbelievable.
And they're still there,
Oh, yeah, it's all still there.
I've read the Guernsey potato peel book.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't realise that they were all just invaded and the Germans stayed there for all of the war.
I know. Oh. And I met when I went to Jersey, because I always go to wherever I'm writing about, I feel I need to see it. You know, I need to sort of get the feel of the place. My guide on Jersey was a 92-year-old guy who wore a baseball cap, big sunglasses, and he drove a sports car. And he had lived through the occupation, and he had been in the resistance there, and he had saved some Russian prisoners of war, slave labourers that the Germans brought over.
Wow.
And he actually got an award from the Russian government after the war. But he was such a character.
He sounds like it. Bless him driving around in a sports car.
But he was just such a fount of information, and he was so entertaining. He told me how at the age of 19, unexpectedly, he ended up being in charge of an insurance company, because the manager and the deputy manager, as soon as it was known that the Germans were coming, they evacuated to England. And he was 19, an insurance clerk, and he ended up being in charge of the whole company. Yeah, he had some amazing stories, and then he got involved in saving the slave labourers. So that was he's just one of the characters in my book.
Oh, my goodness. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. My TBR's just rising. Oh, wonderful. I don't know how I missed that one. I'm so excited. Thank you. I have got a copy. I just haven't prioritised it. I didn't realise. I don't know. I mustn't have looked at it properly. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoy it when you do get
around
to
it. Oh, I definitely will. But isn't it funny? I've only just finished the wartime one, and it seems like a similar sort of comes together.
Well, Dancing with the Enemy is very different, because one of the characters is a young Australian doctor who goes to Jersey because she doesn't know anyone there. And this is real time now. And she's had some traumatic experiences. Her best friend in the same hospital where she worked committed suicide. Oh. And the pressure of the work, which is very real.
Absolutely, yeah.
So she goes over to Jersey, and she lives in a house where a doctor lived. And this doctor, actually, he left a memoir, which I read. And this doctor in the book leaves a memoir of his life during the war, and she becomes linked with the story that way. And
the third character is
a young boy who hated the minute that the swastika hung above the city of St. Helier, and so he planned to escape, but he was caught by the Germans. So that's the background. That's my story of Dancing with the Enemy.
Oh, what an elevator pitch for another one. Read one book and get 10 more recommendations. And so what are you reading at the moment?
I'm always reading something. At the moment, I'm reading a book by a Finnish author, Tuominen, who I love, Quirky. So I'm reading his book called, it's called The Rabbit.
He's
great. And before that, I read a Malayan author who wrote a fabulous book called The Garden of Evening Mists.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
That is a wonderful story. So then I got another one of his. I thought it was a woman because it's written from the point of view of a woman, but it's a male author, and it's beautifully written. So like you, I've got a pile to read.
And I wouldn't have it any other way either.
I agree.
Cannot wait to meet you in person. Oh my goodness, I've loved this chat. Yeah, so lucky. Oh, wonderful.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you on Thursday.
Thank you. I can't wait.
Yeah.
How wonderful. That's
by the time we get together, we'll feel like old friends.
I know. Oh, my goodness, it was an absolute honor to have met you. I'm so glad that I got this opportunity to chat with you today. Thank you. Are you on social media as well, Diane? Or is
I'm
it
on Facebook, that's all.
Wonderful. Yeah, excellent. I did look for you on Instagram. I couldn't see you.
I'm not on Instagram, but I am on Facebook.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
I appreciate your interest and your enthusiasm.
I loved Wild Date Palm. Okay, so that's it for this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me. Please leave a review wherever you can, but especially where you found my Read a Book podcast. If you'd like more connection, please head on over to thereadabook.com.au. There's plenty of book reviews and recommendations there. And that's also where you'll find my blog. And I would love, love, love to welcome you into our community. There's a membership page on readabook.com.au. There are three levels. The first is free, and I'm so hoping that you would like to help me build my online community where we can enjoy reading more together. Thank you.